Welcome to Nutrition Nuts, where we discuss the latest nutrition breakthroughs, supplements, and wellness choices with leaders in the natural products industry, health practitioners, and research scientists. I'm your host, Jim Wilkes, certified nutritionist. Thanks to our main sponsor, HollyHillVitamins.com, the place for great selection, service, and prices. Check out their extensive wellness library for updated science-based info. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us today or tonight, depending on where you're living and what time you're listening to it. I do appreciate you being on with us. My name is Jim Wilk, and I am the local nutritionist here in the room, I guess, where we're doing our podcast. And I'd like to thank our sponsor, HollyHillVitamins.com, for always being there for us. And a lot of these fine products that we talk about today, ingredients that we talk about today, will be on our website there, HollyHillVitamins.com. And today's show is going to stink. And I mean that in a good way. We have Lisa Dotkin on, and she's a certified aromatherapist. And she's also the national educator for Pranaram, the company sponsoring today. And a very interesting company. The myriad, it's a good word, the myriad of smells that this company produces is just tremendous. And I'm really excited to do this. Lisa just came by our place here and gave a little lecture, and it was very interesting. She's a former yoga teacher. She's a meditation guide. I've been working in the industry, wellness industry, for over 20 years, a lot of health food stores and co-ops and things like that. And, she loves plants. What can I say? She says it naturally guides her to her plant-based remedies. And she loves to focus on organic and sustainable practices, which I always am a big fan of. So she has this tremendous enthusiasm and this joy to the learning experience of aromatherapy. So I think you're going to like that. I think she hails out of the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. So I think she said she delights in the diverse climates of that area. So that should be interesting too. So it's a great, great company. So hang in there with us. And I just want to do a couple of articles I just came apart. I try to review a lot of articles that I get and see what I'm interested in. I think you guys would really get some help out of. So this comes out of the Journal of American Nutrition Association. And this is I just came out a couple of months ago. And sleep, right? We all have problems with sleep. I think we can all agree on that. Even worrying about the problems of sleep keeps me up at night. So this was the first low-dose CBD sleep quality test. They did this. It was the first double-blind randomized controlled sleep trial on CBD. And they say it's the largest trial of cannabinoids in general. So this is pretty cool. They took over 1,200 men and women. Their average age was around 46 years. They also reported a range of sleep disturbances from mild to severe, things like that, just problems sleeping. And they either took a placebo or they took 15 milligrams of CBD. You know, when I first got involved in CBD over 10 years ago, you found 1 milligram, 3 milligrams. That was the dose. Now they're up to 50, even beyond milligrams of CBD. So this was 15, which is kind of average, I would say. They say low dose, but yeah. They either did a placebo, 15 milligrams of CBD, some with and some without 5 milligrams of melatonin, and some other cannabinoids like CBN and CBC. So the doctors measured the sleep in the first week before starting treatment. It lasted 4 weeks, and they took one capsule per day with food before going to sleep and could increase to 2 capsules taken at the same time, but no more than 2 per day. So you got that, right? So no more than 30 milligrams. They said overall 15 milligrams of CBD or 5 milligrams of melatonin improved sleep quality significantly and equally well. And the other cannabinoids, which I won't get into, that's a whole nother show, didn't enhance the effects at all. So it's worth a try. I think I would prefer the CBD, trying that over the melatonin, because I think you can get kind of used to melatonin. Your body naturally produces melatonin, and there's some question of whether it can stop your own production if you keep using it or something. I mean, melatonin once in a while is great for jet lag, things like that. But taking 15 milligrams of CBD might help a lot of people. So that's one. The second, real quickly, they did this study with 70 postmenopausal women, and these women had sleep disturbances and also hot flashes and all that stuff. They either took the placebo again or 500 milligrams of an extract of fennel and valerian. So they took that twice per day. So I guess you'll have to look for that, for something that has both fennel and valerian. I know it's easy to find fennel by itself and valerian, but you might have to look through this combo. So they say after 4 and 8 weeks compared to the placebo, the women taking the fennel-valerian combination reported fewer sleep problems on a standard sleep quality index questionnaire. Excuse me. For hot flashes, the fennel-valerian group reported significantly lower frequency and severity than the placebo group. Doctors noted that the duration of the hot flashes increased in both groups, although they were fewer and less severe for the fennel valerian group. So again, might be a good alternative to hormone therapy for relieving sleep and stuff like that, and reducing hot flashes as well. So I thought that was pretty cool. All right, kids, let's get Lisa on the show, and we're going to talk aromatherapy today. Liza, thank you so much for joining us today on the Nutrition Nuts. And we talk nutrition a lot on this show, a lot about vitamins and minerals and herbs. But I think what goes in your nose is just as important as what goes into your mouth there. And that's why I'm so excited to do a show on aromatherapy. And I think with Pranaram, we picked a perfect company. So again, I appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Sure. The reason why I'm excited to do this show is because of the quality of your company. And there are a lot of essential oil companies out there. Essential oils have become so commonplace these days. I think they're putting it into regular junky products on the market there just to give it some allure, substance there to it. And what struck me about your company is the origins of it. And I'd like you to go through that a little bit, because I think it's fascinating there. Go ahead.
Yeah, we were formed in Europe, actually, by a man who is both a pharmacist and an aromatherapist. And his goal was to really focus on this French medical aromatherapy method, so that he needed to ensure quality for a number of reasons. But having that goal was, of course, first of all, having an organic certification for all of the oils that we offer. Mm. And so in French medical aromatherapy, you're choosing oils based on their constituents rather than on just their aroma. Even though the constituents speak to the aroma, you focus on those constituents because that's the therapeutic agent that comes from the plant when we extract the essential oils. So having that primary focus, in addition to the organic certification, really sets us apart from pretty much any other brand on the market in terms of how we operate, how we blend, and how we choose our oils.
Yeah. And when did this start about?
In 1991. So we've been around for over 30 years. And, as an educator, I appreciate our founder's name is Dominique Badu, and he was really passionate about education for a long time too. He's retired from doing education, but being able to share this information with people is really crucial because of its difference in terms of how we use aromatherapy, how we apply aromatherapy to the health and wellness market. And so getting into things like his desire to build relationships with farmers and growers and distillers and, you know, wanting aromatherapy to be accessible and approachable. And a lot of that was building these relationships with the people who grow and distill the oils, but also educating the general public and helping people understand that essential oils go just beyond that scent piece. They offer a lot of value to our health and wellness.
Yeah, I guess aromas, odors and smells coming from plants and things, they've been around for like since the beginning of time. And probably people don't give it much emphasis. It's just so commonplace in our, we walk in through the woods or every time I pass a rose bush on one of my walks or something, I got to put my nose into it for some reason. And I think it's part of our DNA in a sense.
Absolutely. Well, what's interesting about our sense of smell, the olfactory system, it's directly connected to the limbic system of the brain, which means when we breathe in an aroma, little messages are being sent to parts of our brain like the amygdala, the hippocampus, the hypothalamus. So these scent molecules as messages become sort of the, you know, initiating factor in terms of the brain's need to recall a memory or to help balance, you know, the autonomic nervous system or things like that. So when you understand that breathing a scent immediately affects your limbic system and how that affects the rest of your body, there's a lot more going on than just a nice smelling oil.
Yeah. Garlic bread is a good instance
for that. Right? Right. I mean, if you think about it, aromatherapy happens naturally, like you said. It comes from the flowers we smell. It comes from brewing a cup of coffee. Any of those things in our day-to-day life are also aromatherapy. We just don't think about it in the same way.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I pass a roaster, like a coffee roaster's place. It just draws you in like a magnet. It's amazing. That's amazing stuff.
Right.
Goodness gracious. And so what? You know, I always thought, what makes an oil essential? You know, I know there's essential fatty acids that we take internally, things like that, and essential amino acids, but what makes an oil essential?
That's a really good question. It's essential because it is the active life force of the plant when it's living inside the plant. So the plant creates essential oils to ward off microbes like virus, or bacteria or fungus and things like that.
Yeah.
It's also creating essential oils to ward off pests that might want to eat the plant, invasive species, but also the essential oils are what make the scent of the plant. And so it can also act as an attractant to pollinators. So essential oils in the plant are essential because that's their life force. That's their immune system, if you will. And so the oils are crucial to the livelihood of the plant. And then we get to harness that magic and use it for ourselves, for our own health and wealth.
Yeah, I guess if somebody is wearing a nice smelling cologne or perfume, you're attracted to that too. So how does that differ if someone's using like a perfume and things? Because he wouldn't consider that an essential oil, but it is a kind of an oil, or is it considered that? Or is it synthetically made?
Once upon a time,
yeah,
perfumes and colognes were formulated using essential oils. But as we have gotten more excited about synthesizing aromatics, both because of ease and because of cost, we then end up with these colognes, perfumes, personal scents that end up being more persistent. And what I mean by persistent is the scent lasts longer. So for some, that's good. For the rest of us, not so good. Maybe we don't want to smell someone's perfume all day, but they used to be formulated with essential oils. And now that is the one difficulty for natural, especially natural organic aromatherapy, is that you're competing with these synthetic fragrances that, you know, they're chemicals, they're not great for the body in the end, but they also last longer in scent. And so when someone wants to try a natural scent, there has to be a little bit of understanding that because it's natural, because it's organic, because it's coming from a plant and not a lab, we are going to have to think about it a little bit differently in terms of application.
That's right. I mean, but my first girlfriend said I was persistent, so maybe that was the cologne I was wearing. I don't know. But I'm telling you. So Pranaram, where does that name come from? That's a kind of an unusual name there.
Yeah, Pranaram actually is how it's pronounced, though you can say it however you like.
Yeah, but that's
Pranaram,
right.
Pranaram.
Yeah.
Well, it's because of how the word is put together. So we use two words. One word is prana, which is a Sanskrit word for life force,
right,
or breath of life. And the second word is aroma. And so when you blend prana and aroma, you get Pranaram.
You know, I saw that the little hyphen on top of the O there. That's my fault there, folks. I know.
That's okay. It's okay. Because I think it's more important that people understand that prana, life force, and aroma, scent, are what the essential oils are doing in the plant. And so we've named the company the action that the essential oils do for the plant.
Ah, okay. That's such a cool thing.
Right.
And also, we got to meet Liza, folks, a few weeks ago there, and she gave a little lecture here. And tell me a little bit about that scientific aromatherapy, what those two terms mean there together.
Right. So the scientific aromatherapy refers to French medical aromatherapy. So just as an example, there are many schools of thought in aromatherapy. One is French medical. Another is called English aromatherapy. And in English aromatherapy, people choose oils based on their scent, and then they're blending for a final aromatic experience. And so it's all about the scent when it comes to English aromatherapy. This is a beautiful practice of aromatherapy. We use it when we're blending our diffusion oils because our diffusion blends are for, you know, a final aromatic experience. However, in French medical aromatherapy, or as we've called it, scientific aromatherapy, we're choosing oils based on those constituents, and then we're formulating for function. So when we make our wellness blends, we're putting those oils together based on what those therapeutic agents in the oil can offer your health and wellness. And so we combine them based on how those constituents work together, not necessarily because of how those oils smell together.
Interesting. Gosh.
So it's a slightly different practice. It's still a beautiful way to use aromatherapy, and they often still smell quite delightful, but it's not blending in that same way, because in English aromatherapy, that's more in the perfume region. Like if you're going to blend, you know, you want a base note, a top note, and then a harmonizing note to marry those two aromas together. And I just taught a class last night on how to blend in that way. And it's a beautiful practice, like I said, but there's so much more that the essential oils have to offer us beyond just a beautiful smell.
It doesn't get much respect, though, in the so-called scientific world or the medical world or things like that. I always hear it's on the fringe there as far as therapeutic applications and things. Placebo effect type of a thing, you know, and it's a shame, right? I mean,
it's interesting because, in the United States, I would say that's true. But in Europe, where our parent company is based, they're using essential oils of this nature, this scientific approach where they have batch tested every single oil to make sure they understand the constituents. And then because all of the people working over there, for the most part, have pharmaceutical degrees, they understand how constituents work as medicines. And then those oils are offered to people through pharmacies and stores by prescription. So people are taking essential oils with instruction, right? Like they've got details on how much to put it in, you know, what does it go in? How often do I take it? How long should I take it? So they have a much different school of thought in Europe in terms of how essential oil usage can go than we do here in the United States. And trying to find a bridge between those two schools of thought can be quite tricky.
It's such a shame. People don't realize that so many pharmaceuticals come from plant substances. It's just a funny,
exactly.
It's such a funny application. Gee whiz. You made me angry again.
sorry to rile you up, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, come on, people. Let's you know, try these things. It's just so much safer, right? It's ridiculous. And it's very, you know, people have taken essential oils internally, which I don't think your company recommends, or someone who doesn't know what they're doing can be harmful. But it's such a external thing. It's such a non-invasive in a bad way kind of thing. I mean, you rarely hear of anybody having a problem with essential oils, right?
Well, there are so many options for using aromatherapy and essential oils that do not include internal use,
right,
that still offer a benefit to health and wellness. I mean, aromatherapy is about bringing the body back into balance.
True.
And you can do that through breathing. You can do that through topical application, as long as you've got proper dilution. So there are lots of ways to use it that don't require you to have it as an internal piece.
Yeah. So Liza, you're a certified aromatherapist, and I'm just curious your background, like what led you to that? What brought you into this world?
Yeah, one of my earlier jobs in life was at a health food store in my neighborhood. I had just moved back from Norway and I needed a job before I went to college, and the health food store in my neighborhood was hiring. So that was back in 97. And that began my journey in sort of the health and wellness world. And so I grew that store. We started, you know, I became the manager, and then all of a sudden I was doing all of these studies. You know, I've studied herbalism, I've studied flower essences, and I'm now a yoga teacher. I do meditation instruction as well. So I've always been drawn to this side of the world. And so when I became familiar with this company, all of a sudden something new clicked for me. And I thought, okay, this is where I want to put extra focus. And so I went into studying and became a certified aromatherapist, and I'm still studying with the same school and another one to this day. I don't want to stop learning. And so books are great, but, you know, having formal instruction is great too. So I've just always been curious about how plants can be medicine as much as they can be food.
It's fantastic. I applaud you for that. This company, Pranaram, is 100% natural, folks. It's 100% pure. They don't use any synthetic molecules, no chemical agents, no mineral oils are present. It's just really pure stuff. So how many farms did you collect from? Do you guys have your own, or do you just have to certify each place that you find them? Do you find them all over the world or just in certain areas?
They are, for the most part, you know, in regions where the growing period of time is longer. So I live in Minneapolis. We have a very short window of growing time. And that's where we're based here, is in Minneapolis. So, obviously we can't grow things here. I get questions a lot like, do you source everything locally? And I wish we could say yes, because that would be wonderful. But Minneapolis doesn't really offer that. So we source from a lot of farms in Madagascar that are sole sourcing to us at mm-hmm. Pranaram. We source from India. We source from other areas, all over the Pacific island regions, also in Africa. And then for sure, there's a lot coming from Europe, because our lavender is all from France. And some of our rosemary comes from the Pyrenees. Some of our rosemary then comes from North Africa. So it really depends on what the oil is. The plant, of course, is needing to be in its native region, or at least a similar growing region, in terms of subtropical or tropical, or the appropriate soil quality and things like that. So there are many, many, many farms and distillers that we source from. So each one has its own certifying process. And we're dual certified in terms of having USDA organic and EcoCert. So there's a lot of paperwork. EcoCert really goes above and beyond most certifications in terms of, you know, this most recent year, they've added a requirement that even if a barrel of oil, of essential oil, is spending any amount of time in a room in transit, that room needs to be certified by them to make sure that the entirety of the travels from seed to bottle is a certified environment so that they can feel comfortable giving us the EcoCert certification.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What's really cool too, and I'm a kind of a numbers guy. I love, you know, things about the galaxy and stuff. But when I read that it takes 2,000 pounds, that's a ton, folks, right? 2,000 pounds of lavender flowers to make just 1 gallon of lavender essential oil, and 5.5 million roses to make 1 liter of rose essential oil. That blew me away.
Right. It's a staggering amount of land mass that's required for a small amount of oil. It's a very concentrated plant medicine, to say the least.
Gee, gosh. Well, now I value it more knowing that, you know, it's like,
right?
I have a lot more respect for it right now, I'm telling you. So what's the, you know, the best way to make essential oil? I, you know, we don't have time to go through the whole process, but can you kind of summarize it?
You mean in terms of how essential oils are sourced?
Yeah. Well, not just sourced, but also made into essential oils. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the sourcing or the extraction method is typically through steam distillation. So you're heating water to become steam. That steam then moves through compacted plant material in a chamber. And as it moves through that compacted plant material, it is so compacted that, you know, the steam has to make its way through the cells and membranes of the plant material. In that method of distillation, that steam is able to extract the essential oils from the plant material. And then it goes through a condenser to cool back to water. In the final chamber, the essential oils, being oils, are hydrophobic and they will float to the top. And then the rest of that chamber is full of water that moved through plant material as steam. And that is now hydrosol, hydro water sol solution. So hydrosol is another crucial component of aromatherapy because it has the water soluble constituents. It's not concentrated like the essential oils. So it's gentler, it's more subtle, has a lot more uses without having to dilute than you would say the essential oils, but that's your typical extraction method for essential oils.
Oh, that's so cool too. Yeah. Hydrosols are becoming popular too. It's amazing.
Well, they're an incredible choice for people who are looking for something like, I don't know, for pets or for babies, and they don't want to risk using an essential oil. And we don't have a whole lot of studies on essential oils with pets in particular. So having a hydrosol that's gentle and easy to use is a great option for people in those situations.
Yeah. You know, I always felt, I just thought of this too, they should do more animal studies on parrots so they can get some feedback, you know, at least, you know, it's important. Mm. It's a terrible joke. I'm sorry. this is, I'm going to throw this out here, and this is me, folks, looking this up. This is not Liza speaking here. And I get, some reports on vitamins, herbs, things like that, and how they help people. And this was, a study that was done on, do tropical essential oils help with musculoskeletal pain? And, these are a meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials about topically applied essential oils reducing pain intensity in participants with these musculoskeletal disorders. And they let's see what they did here. They had about 600 people. There was 8 trials all around the world, 3 in China, 1 in Turkey, 1 in Taiwan. And they got people with knee or hand osteoarthritis, low back pain, rheumatoid arthritis, carpal tunnel syndrome, knee pain, and neck pain. And here's what they used, Liza. They used lavender oil, 3 trials, rose oil, 1 trial, mixtures of different oils such as ginger, rosemary, orange, black pepper, peppermint. And the oils were applied using massage techniques or simply applied topically. And it goes into more detail, but in the vast majority of trials, topically applied essential oils decreased pain intensity measured immediately after and 4 weeks after the end of the intervention. So that was pretty good. You know, they said it was a low level type of thing, which studies, but that was interesting that it might be worth a try. And this is just coming from me, folks, to try these things topically and see if you can get some results, you know, look into that a little bit. It would take 2 hours, I think, Liza, to us to go through everything. Literally.
Right. Absolutely.
Also, folks, again, you go to hollyhillvitamins.com. You can get a link there. And what's the best website for your company?
Our website is pranarome.us.
.us. And that's P-R-A-N-A-R-O-M. And you don't have to put that little squiggle on top of the O there.
Nope.
But, you know, I was looking in some of the things that you have. Aromacom, you have a stress relief diffusion blend, and you have a stress relief roll-on, relaxing massage oil. This was interesting, a room and linen stress relief spray. What does your room have stress in it? What's that for there?
So the room and linen spray is actually one of the most popular products as of late, especially through the pandemic, because that offers you is the ability to spray your room or your linen. So I always would suggest people to you spray your pillowcase or the sheets on your bed before you start your nighttime routine. So you spray the linens with a few sprays, you go into the bathroom, brush your teeth, wash your face, whatever it is you need to do. You come back, it has dried in the meantime. So when you get into bed, you have this really relaxing aroma that will help you maybe fall asleep more easily, maybe stay asleep more easily, because a lot of these oils do have the ability to help calm the autonomic nervous system in terms of, you know, through the limbic system and all those types of things. So it's a really great way to use aromatherapy without having to figure out dilution, buy a diffuser. You just buy this product, spray, and you're ready to go.
Are there advantages to a diffuser? Sometimes I read, and I think I've tried this myself, I put a little lavender on a cotton ball and put it, you know, in my pillow, inside my pillow. So is a room diffuser going to be more, you know, is it worth doing that, getting one of those?
Well, what I like about diffusers as opposed to an ambient diffusion method like a cotton ball is that it does break down the molecule size, which means it's going to have better dispersal. It tends to open up the aroma a little bit, but it just then permeates the entirety of the space where you've got the diffuser and allows for a more complete sort of atmospheric application than if you just use the cotton ball, which, you know, I've done that too. I love that method. But if I'm on my left side where the cotton ball is, I can smell it. If I roll over onto the right side, I don't smell it so much. So a diffuser allows the aroma to be dispersed more evenly and widely.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair enough. Are there certain diffusers you should look for?
Highly recommend ultrasonic diffusers because the ultrasonic function is really what helps break down the molecule size of the oil, which means it will have a better dispersal rate in the atmosphere of the room. But it's also functioning with cool mist rather than any sort of heat sourcing, because heat sourcing diffusers can often mitigate some of those therapeutic values in the essential oils. So having a cool mist diffuser, an ultrasonic that has the ability to break down the size, just allows for a better dispersal rate and then a better aroma too.
Are there on the single oils, is it important to dilute them a little? I've heard it can be a little caustic using them directly on skin, or certain oils can be caustic.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously a diffuser, you're putting water in the diffuser first and then you've got your essential oils, so you're all set there. But when you're doing a topical application or putting oils in the bath, you do want to dilute them. 1% dilution is typically more than enough for any application, and that's only 9 drops of essential oil per ounce of carrier oil.
Oh.
And that would be sufficient if you were doing a body oil or you were making a facial serum, or if you wanted to put some nice smelling oils in the bath.
Yeah, I like doing that in the bath. Getting too
right?
personal.
I mean, dilution, when you think about that concentrated nature, 2,000 pounds of lavender flower for a gallon of essential oil, that is a lot. And so that concentrated nature is what makes it, can make it caustic. Some are more gentle than others to the skin, but it's always best to play it safe. When you're new to aromatherapy, dilution is crucial across the board. Right. To start anyway. Yeah.
All right. Here's a question for you, Eliza.
Okay.
I got a bunch of oils here, and I took one, and I opened it up before the show. If you can tell by my demeanor which one I took. I don't know what you'll win, but can you just give a guess? Which one did I take here? It's a blend.
You either use mental clarity because you're so focused, or stress recovery because you're so relaxed.
That's good. No. Actually, I tried uplift.
Oh, well.
It's a lemon and bergamot, guys, for you who don't know that. And I just said, you know, Carolyn brought these into me and says, hey, you got to take one. There's meditation. There's all these. I said, I don't know. I don't want to be too relaxed. I need something uplifting just to come across right. So wonderful smell. What a fantastic.
Yeah, citruses are very uplifting.
Yeah,
they can give you a little bit of focus, but keep you on the calm side. It's a really nice diffusion blend for sure.
Now, I know this is the time of year people are vacationing, right? And you got one called Destination, right? Is that the name?
Oh, there's a Destination Diffusion Blend series. Yes, we based a number of diffusion blends on different areas of Europe. So three we call coastal Mediterranean, and then three we call south of France. But we based them on things that grow in those regions. So we made one called Valencia that is about Spain, the orange-growing region of Spain.
Love it.
We've got Sorrento for Italy, right? So we're putting forward these blends for people who maybe want to be vacationing further than they can on the other side of the pond, if you will. A nice aromatic, whisk you away, and yeah.
All right, Liza.
They all have their own unique blend.
I'm going to give you a $1 million suggestion here, and you can have it. You know, it's my pleasure.
Okay.
You're going to take these and partner with a virtual reality company, right? So you got the goggles on, you put the scents out, they're there, right? You got it.
Love it.
You could patent that or something. That's the way to go.
I love it.
Yeah. So what's your favorite essential oil there?
Oh, that is an unfair question.
Yeah, it's like kids.
I would say I'll pick vetiver. I typically pick vetiver. Vetiver is a very earthy aromatic. It comes from the roots of a grass that's native to India, and it just has this. So the grass itself grows to about 3 feet in height, but the roots travel into the earth about 9 feet down. Mm. And they're all these really thin, spindly roots that are then harvested to distill for the essential oil. And the essential oil is dark in color. It's viscous, so very thick. And vetiver as a plant is really great at preventing erosion and for purifying groundwater because of the nature of the shape and the length and duration of the roots. And so for humans, when we're smelling it, it does a similar thing where it kind of centers us and grounds us like the roots would. Mm-hmm. And so I love it for when I need to really focus or be a little bit more embodied for the day. Vetiver is absolutely in my top three, if not my favorite.
That's great. That's great. I guess worldwide, would lavender be up on top as far as the most popular, or eucalyptus, or what? What would I love?
Yeah,
eucalyptus.
Lavender. Yeah, lavender is a top seller across the board. I would say probably any aromatherapy company would say yes, lavender is our top seller, and the reason for that is it really is the panacea of aromatherapy. There's not much lavender can't do, and in fact, aromatherapists, we always say when in doubt, use lavender, or if lavender occurs to you, give it a try, because lavender as an essential oil, fascinatingly, has so many abilities where other oils maybe have similar abilities in part to what lavender can do. No other essential oil has so many abilities as lavender does on its own.
Yeah, I mean, topically, right? People use it for skin eruptions and things too, right?
Right. Grapes, mosquito bites, bugs, you know, any other bug, a bee sting. If you get burned from the sun or from baking, you know, cut grapes, abrasions, but it's also so relaxing and soothing. I mean, there, it's got really great purposes for, like I said, for pretty much anything.
Yeah. I've been to some lavender farms. They're just delightful to walk among. You just get into a mood when you're in those kind of places, right?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Cool. All right, folks. PranaromUS.com. Is I correct on that? PranaromUS.com is a
Pranarom.us.
.us, right. I'm sorry. .us, right. Not the commie thing. Right.
If you go to Pranarom.com, you get the option to choose the US version, and then that'll send you over to us anyway.
There you go. Yeah. I'm sorry about that. Just
quickly,
maybe you may not know this, your top five sellers or so. I know you're the educator, but.
I would say for single notes, you're looking at lavender, peppermint, and frankincense. Those are all really popular. Peppermint, like you were mentioning in that study, they used peppermint for some of those body aches and pains.
Right.
Peppermint definitely needs a lot of dilution. So if you try it for that purpose, you want to make sure you do no more than 9 drops in an ounce of carrier. And then, I would say beyond that, it would be absolutely sweet orange, eucalyptus you mentioned, and even lemon has some growing popularity as of late. So
yeah, the eucalyptus.
For single notes, I would put those as the top five.
I love eucalyptus. It's one of the, it's like almost in a sense rosemary, because it has a lot of applications for respiratory, all these things it does. And I have one of those rainbow vacuums that use water as the all the dirt. I put a few drops of eucalyptus in there and it kind of spins. So it kind of diffuses it. It's really cool.
Right.
Love that.
That sounds
stuff.
Amazing.
Yeah. It sounds wonderful stuff. Great, great stuff. All right, Liza, thank you so much. I mean, this has been really great. HollyHillVitamins.com, folks. You can look for some of the products there and also go to their website as well. And it's been really interesting. And maybe we should do this again in the wintertime or something. We'll think of some nice things for the holidays. All right.
I would love that. Thanks for having me, Jim.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much. All right, guys, that's it. Please subscribe to the channel so you can get our latest episodes. And if you want to contact me with any questions or comments, try jimwilkcnc@gmail.com. Thanks again.